The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. It is page 115 in the New Testament. The words for today are Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. Allow me to read the words. Be dressed ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is a faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserve punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Amen. Peter, a disciple of Jesus, was originally a fisherman from Galilee. He didn't own a lot and didn't have a lot of learning. But he preached the gospel filled with the Holy Spirit, which came upon him during Pentecost. People were surprised because what he said went straight to the Old Testament. When it came to Peter and John, as they went up to the temple, raising up a paralytic man who was sitting before the gate of beauty to walk, the religious leaders felt threatened and arrested these two people. However, the religious leaders became flustered in seeing how they spoke without hesitation, not cowed by the body that wielded the highest power. They had presumed Peter and John to be criminals without learning, but when they actually met them, they received completely the opposite impression. The literal meaning of criminals without learning meant ignorant persons who didn't learn the law. Now, in comparison, Apostle Paul had a lot going for him in his social standing. He was born to and raised in an Orthodox Jewish family, and he was a Pharisee. Now, Jesus criticized the hypocrisy of Pharisees, but they were greatly respected by people at the time because they tried to dedicate all aspects of their lives to observing the law. There were Pharisees like Nicodemus who met Jesus, became changed, defended Jesus, and was with him until the last moment. Only a very few people could become Pharisees after a very strict examination. At the time in Judah, there were only 6,000 Pharisees in all over Judah. On top of that, Apostle Paul learned under Rabbi Gamaliel. It is said that he was one of the seven rabban, or the rabbis of the rabbis. The Apostle Paul was far above Apostle Peter from the standpoint of education or social standing. But as a pastor, his critical weakness was that he was not one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. To speak more precisely, he had never seen Jesus in the flesh or heard him speak. Furthermore, he was at one time a great persecutor of the church. Therefore, although Apostle Peter received support from many sources as he did his ministry with his wife, Apostle Paul earned his income by making tents to support not only his ministry, but funds needed to support his co-workers' ministry. Even so, except for few, Paul was shunned by most Jewish people. Because Apostle Paul knew that he had a great weakness as a pastor, he tried to live every day before the Lord. As he walked the path of calling, this is what he confessed regarding the work that he did and the attitude that he had about life. "No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." In the expression, "I strike a blow to my body," the word "strike" in Greek is hypopiazo. This is a word which is made up, actually, of three different words. Hypo, which means blow, below. Ops, which means eyes. And piazo, which means beat. In other words, it is beating underneath one's eyes. In boxing, it is said that the more you receive blows to your belly, it becomes stronger. But the more you receive blows to your chin, it becomes weaker. When a boxer trains, he trains by practicing receiving blows to the belly. But there is no boxer who practices by receiving blows to his head to make his head turn stronger into a head of iron that can withstand blows. To the contrary, boxers wear headgears in order to protect the head. The more the head is protected from shock, the better off the head is. Now, Paul's analogy draws on the techniques of knocking out an opponent in an ancient times in fighting competition by targeting to give a blow right underneath the eyes of the opponent. But the person who is receiving the blow is not another person, but Paul himself. He says that the reason that he strikes such a blow to his body is to ensure that he will not later be discarded. He wants to make sure that he does not become disqualified. As an example, boxing is a game where the boxers with similar weight fight one another. If a boxer wins and he thought he was 50 kilograms in a fly club or 60 kilograms in a light club, but turns out that after the game, after measuring his weight, that his weight exceeded 70 kilograms, that would put him in the middle club, or 100 kilograms, the heavy club, he will lose his world championship belt. This is what Paul is talking about. Now, he preached the gospel zealously, and people who heard the gospel from him served the Lord zealously. But later, when Paul goes to heaven, he does not want to be in a situation where all those who heard the gospel from him receive prizes, but God says to Paul, "Sorry, Paul, you spread the gospel with passion, but you didn't live according to it, so I don't have any prize for you." In today's text, Jesus tells his disciples that one must have the attitude like that of Apostle Paul. We looked at today's passage last week, but we will look at it some more today. This is from verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. At the time, people wore clothes which were basically made in one piece and came all the way down to the floor. Therefore, what they had to do first before doing any work or going to a battle was to put on a belt. In Ephesians chapter 6, the first article which is mentioned among the armor of God is the belt of truth. And the first thing that God told the children of Israelites to do as they were about to leave Egypt in chapter 12 of Exodus is to put on a belt around your waist. Going into a spiritual warfare or leaving Egypt were matters of life and death, important and urgent. Putting a belt around one's waist is like wearing a uniform. A soldier wears a soldier's uniform. A policeman wears a policeman's uniform. A cook wears a cook's uniform. And a doctor wears a doctor's gown. The uniform reminds you of who you are and make you to take on an attitude that enables you to live a life that is suitable to the uniform. Now let us assume that our church decided to help people who have suffered from disasters like that great mountain fires that broke out at Gangwon province, or through a strong hurricane, or due to a massive oil spill at sea, and formed teams and gathered together at the agreed hour. If most people are dressed to suitable to do this kind of work and have put on boots and sneakers, but some came dressed in white suits and white shoes, or came dressed in hanbok with the rubber shoes, what would happen? Now, the people who came dressed that way probably are people who cannot serve physically because of their health conditions and came to serve the volunteers during meals after the rescue works are over. And to stand with the burning lamp signifies an attitude which does not regard the day's work as being over just because the sun went down. And works into the night, but works into the night in order to finish what needs to be done that day. There is a saying known as 형설지공 in Korean, which means efforts with the firefly and snow. It denotes an attitude of diligently and steadily pursuing study despite hardships. A man named Cha Yun, who lived during the Jin Dynasty in China, was very poor and could not afford the lamp, so he captured fireflies and read by their lights at night. And a man named Son Gang was also very poor, so he read by the light shed by the snow at winter nights. The saying drives from these ancient stories, and to stand with a burning lamp is to have this attitude of 형설지공. If verse 35 tells us about the outward attitude that a steward ought to have, verse 38 testifies about the inner attitude that a steward is to have. Verse 38, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. At the time, wedding lasted as long as a week, so it was not possible to guess when the master would return home. In particular, it was all the more so because a person could stop by the homes of relatives or acquaintances for several days in going to or returning home from a wedding. Even when a wedding took place at a next village, Because the wedding took place in the evening, the master of the house would frequently return home late at night. Traditionally, Jewish people divided the night hours into three. And Romans divided the night hours into four. The Israel, which was under the rule of the Roman Empire at the time, probably used Roman hours. If so, then the second hour during the night would have meant the hours between 9 p.m. to midnight. And the third hour would have meant the hours between midnight to 3 a.m. If the servant stays awake during the most tiring hours, hours at which he should already be in bed, then Jesus says that the master will serve the servant. And the literal meaning of the second hour, the third hour, is also the second watch and the third watch. In other words, it describes how the servant wakes up around midnight to check if the master is returning and wakes up again at 3 a.m. to check again. In other words, the servant stayed vigilant in his heart. Now, verses 42 to 44 testify as to how such steward's life goes. The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." The task of the servant or steward is to serve food to people at the appropriate time. And serving food means to nurture our life. There is no more important task for parents than to nurture their children in the right way. It's not only about feeding and educating the children, but the parents are to nurture their bodies, minds, and spirits to mature in the right, for them to mature in the right way. And the important task of businessmen is to make profit so that people who work in his business do not fall into financial hardship. And for pastors like me, the important task is to make you healthy with spiritual nourishments. When I was attending college, I saw a bookmark made by the Catholic Church which had the saying, "I am a Muslim," or "farmhand of Christ." I kept the saying in my heart for a long time. So before, I wrote, "I am a Muslim of Christ," on a piece of paper and taped it on a window where my desk was. The reason I did that was to always think about two things. The first was, Lord's will will always precede mine. A farmhand is someone who does what the owner wants. If what he wills or what he thinks comes first, then this person would be in a business for himself and would not be a Muslim. In order to know what the Lord wants, it's necessary to closely inquire after the Lord's word. So I remember I try very hard to keep near to God's words. The second is that I do whatever the Lord wants. I thought that it was more important for me to know whether the master wanted me to do a task rather than whether I wanted to do that task that was given to me. The Lord said that a master will put all his possessions under the charge of people who live as good stewards, as a good Muslims. In Matthew chapter 25, a parable about a talent is told. In that parable, the master compliments The master's compliment to the servant who made 5 talents, a profit from 5 talents he received, and to the servant who made 2 talents a profit from 2 talents he initially received. And this is what the master said. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, it seems to us that if a servant has worked that hard, it would be a reward for the master to say to the servants who earned 5 talents of profit that he can take break from work and take it easy for the next 5 years. And for the servant who earned 2 talents of profit, that he can take a break for a year and then go on a month-long vacation overseas, all expenses paid. But the master says he will put more things under their charge, and this is their reward. One of the great blessings that we can receive in our faith lives is to be used as pathways of God's work, as hands and feet of God. Only those who have been privileged to have that experience knows. There are many who are used for a particular moment, and there are those who are used during a certain time only. But it is rare to find people who are used in such a way throughout their lives. But therefore, it is a great blessing for us if we are given a position to serve. Jesus also spoke about the life of a bad steward and his life. This is from verses 45 to 48. But suppose a servant says to himself, "My master is taking a long time in coming," and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master as well and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and thus thinks deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Now this servant misunderstood his master. He wrongfully assumed that the master will return late. He can do whatever he wants with things that have been put under his care. In particular, he did not treat other servants who were under him in the proper way. The literal meaning of other servants mean young and weak male and female servants. It's like a senior staff at work abuses new employees or young employees without mercy and pushes them around. The Lord says that such a servant will be treated the same way by his master. If a person borrows money from a bank to do business, the person wouldn't waste money. The reason is that the money must be repaid along with interest. If a person uses that money, even if the money is borrowed, on wasting his life or waste the money to purchase luxury goods to show off, then surely the person will get into trouble. Everything that we have, all the material things that we own, talents, education, job, power, having the role as a spouse, having the role as a parent or a child, All these things are borrowed from God. There will come a time when God will want accounting of these things. Is there anyone who is thankful that he or she owns a lot of things, has a high social status, has outstanding abilities, or who had opportunities to study a lot? All these things amount to borrowing a lot from God. So the Lord will ask for a lot in return. From those who have been given two talents of return will be demanded. And from those who have been given five talents of return will be demanded. Now, if this is the case, then what attitude should we have in order to live as a good steward? The verse 40 testifies to its answer. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Only those who know that they will get to see the face of the Lord at an unexpected time and are ready for it can live as good steward. To all of us, there is a moment when we will breathe our last. Such a moment comes all of a sudden. We will face the evaluation of our lives before God at that time. So we must always be prepared. What we should consider important from today's text is that how we live today determines our future. Depending on how we live daily, God puts us in charge of bigger things or moves the lampstand that was with us to another person. As we examined during our district Bible study, Saul was very humble when he was anointed and was selected as king of Israel by Samuel. He was selected among the 12,000 men, made up of 1,000 men who were chosen by each of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was a head taller than others, but he considered himself unworthy as to hide himself among sacks. But after he became king, he did not obey the words of God that he should have paid attention to and listened more to people. Furthermore, he became more conscious and fearful of how people regarded him rather than God. He did not try to discern the will of God in making him king. So he could not live a prepared life. When at last the Spirit of God left him, he became under the influence of an evil spirit, which was under the control of God, and often fell into despair. So his retainers thought that he would become better if a person who plays harp well plays a harp when he became under the influence of the evil spirit. So David came to the palace as the music therapist for King Saul. But David not only played harp well, but he had courage and the guts to fight battles and had outstanding oral skills to persuade others. And more than anything, God was with him. But what is really surprising about David is how he came to play the harp so well. He was a shepherd who looked after sheep. When Prophet Samuel came to the house of Jesse to pour oil on the head of the person who was to be anointed as king, Jesse called all seven of his sons, but not David, the last of the siblings. Among the children, he was always the shepherd, the last one. Now, when a person like me, who does not know how to play a piano at all, presses on a piano key, or a person who does not know how to play a violin crosses the strings with the bow, then only noises result. A person who gets to sing in an inaugural ceremony of a president is probably somebody who is the best opera or a pop singer. And in order to provide music therapy for the king of Israel then, a person must be able to play the harp extremely well. But it's a mystery how David, who was a shepherd, got to play the harp so well. David probably didn't know himself that the harp that he always played would lead him to the king. What is clear is that David got to play the harp so well because he played his harp a lot every day. Such preparation led him to the king. And David had courage and had guts, and that helped him not to be cowed by Goliath. But such traits did not develop just suddenly overnight. King Saul said to David, "You are a young boy, but he, Goliath, is a champion at fighting." But David answered King Saul that when he kept the sheep of his father, when a lion or a bear came to snatch away a young lamb, he pursued after the beast, killed it, and rescued the lamb. David probably flung a stone at the wild beast using his sling countless times. And he probably did not know then that all these stone slinging were preparing him to topple down Goliath. At the church which I started to attend for the second year of my middle school, I had 120 to 130 adult members and 30 to 40 middle school and high school students. Like most people who have become pastors, I made the order of service for a long time, served as the president of the high school and young adult meetings, and served as a teacher of the church school and a member of the choir. And because there was no pastor who led the young adult members, I studied various materials to lead Bible studies with them and made lesson plans. After I entered the seminary, I served 8 years and 6 months at the Lord's Church, starting out as the education minister for high school students, and later at the church school, young adult groups, and the adult groups. That I had served at various teams in my old church were preparation for me to walk the path as a pastor. And serving at various teams at the Lord's Church were preparation for me to serve as a senior pastor at Swiss Geneva Korean Church. And the 6 years that I worked as a senior pastor at Geneva Korean Church, needless to say, became the preparation and resource for me to work at 100th Anniversary Memorial Church today. When we do the work given to us from the bottom of our hearts and sincerely, it becomes preparation for us to do the next thing that God will put us in charge. The life we are leading now in each of our families, workplaces, and in the faith communities become the stepping stones to the next thing that God will put us in charge. And once those stepping stones end, we will live with the Lord forever. And so, needless to say, we must be built up in the Lord every day. The Lord who wants the faithful life lived today to become the stepping stone for the future says to us, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it. Let us pray. Father God, Paul was ostracized by Jewish people and didn't think that he had the qualifications to become an apostle. But because he could never deny that the Lord had come to him and sent him as an apostle, he lived faithfully every day before the Lord. Apostle Paul probably did not know that you would cause the many letters you wrote in distress to many churches to become a part of the Bible. And he probably did not know that you would cause the faithful life he lived and his faith, which he kept to despite the criticisms and persecutions he received from Gentiles as well as Jewish people, to become the model of faith for the past and future Christians. David probably didn't know that the harp that he played every day, although he didn't receive rightful recognition from his parents or his siblings, not only comforted him, but that it would lead him to King Saul. And he probably didn't know that the stones that he slung at wild beasts like lions and bears in order to keep his father's flock safe enabled him to defeat Goliath, who drove the Israel army to fear. Father God, help us to discard the foolishness of thinking that what we have now and our entitlements belong to us. Help us not to forget that all these things are things that you have put us in charge. Help us also to etch deeply into our hearts the realization that we may have more things than others and enjoy more entitlements than others because the Lord has given them to us, and much will be asked of us when the time comes for our accounting. Allow us, Father, to live each day faithfully, no matter where you have placed us now. In order to do so, may we be built together in the Lord. May today be the stepping stone for tomorrow, the present become the stepping stone for the future. And may we live a blessed life of hearing your compliment on the day